The nation's top rose gardeners turned out in high style in the walled rose garden at the fabulous Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina, to decide the winners of the 2018 Biltmore Rose Trials. And the Rose Chat podcast team was on site to judge and participate in this event, and we captured it all for our listeners. On this episode, you'll hear from the Director of Horticulture from Biltmore, Parker Andes. He'll be talking with us about the lasting horticultural legacy of the Vanderbilts. We'll also talk with Paul Zimmerman, who's the curator of the Rose Trials. He'll be telling us just how the trials work. Then we'll cut away to the awards ceremony and hear the winners as they were announced. Stay with us. The Rose Chat podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Chris and I are just back from the Biltmore International Rose Trials, where we had the chance to get all dressed up in fancy and see some of the world's most beautiful roses. We also had the opportunity to speak with Parker Andes, the Director of Horticulture at the Biltmore. Now listen in as we chat about their ongoing dedication and commitment to the vision of Mr. Vanderbilt and his family.
So we're with Parker Andes, the Director of Horticulture here at the Biltmore Estate, and we're standing in the famed Walled Rose Garden. So Mr. Vanderbilt built this garden.
So he worked with Frederick Law Olmsted, one of the premier landscape architects in the late 1800s, to lay out all the gardens and grounds and even the road system, the forestry here on this, at that time, initially 6,000 and 8,000 acre estate. This walled garden here is a very much of a traditional English feel, where there's a center spine to it. So if you went to any number of gardens in England, you would feel at home here. And that was part of that charm and what Vanderbilt was looking for. He wanted a place for his guests to come and enjoy. And his guests had traveled all over the world. He had traveled all over the world. So he used the best that he could find and recreated it here at Biltmore.
Yeah. We get to enjoy that still, 120 years later?
It's really important to me. What we do is every day we try to give the guest today the same design intent, so therefore the same feel that George Vanderbilt and Olmsted created for George's guest. So we don't change pathways, things like that. Vistas through a pathway to a house, we'll keep those open. All those little details that were on those original drawings from the 1890s and the letters that went back and forth to George Vanderbilt about your guest will see this and this is what we're accomplishing here. We take a lot of clues from those letters, and we definitely take a lot of intent off of those original designs, landscape designs.
One of the times when it really came home to me is when I saw the postcard of the maples.
Yes.
And it was like, oh my goodness, you know, it's different, but it's the same.
That's exactly right. So that was a Cornelia Vanderbilt postcard in the 30s. So this, and it's really important to me to remember that there are some layers in this garden. So there's the original 1890s, and then actually in a couple of the gardens, Olmsted Jr. in the early 1900s did some work. And then there was always the family and what they wanted to see. So if Cornelia Vanderbilt thought it was most important to take a picture of the rose garden, do a colorized postcard from it, that's pretty special. So we actually use that. We look at the height of the hedge and how the garden's laid out, the turf panels along the edge. at the width of those, we use those sorts of clues on what we're going to do today.
Yeah. So all those clues from the past are alive and well in Biltmore today.
We work very hard for that. So when a guest comes onto the estate, when they drive through that wonderful lodge gate, just coming onto the estate and come up that approach road, we try and do as much as we can to give them the same feel, that emotional connection with the landscape that was worked on so hard in the early, the late 1800s and early 1900s by George Vanderbilt.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's alive and well today. You know, the welcoming, the charm, it's all here. You know, I always say at the Biltmore, there's beauty at every turn. You know, wherever you're looking, it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And so
we would
be very proud of the work you're doing.
Well, I'm very proud of the work the gardeners do because, you know, it's that day-to-day work. So we call it drift. So you could have a design intent. And in 20 years, if somebody's not paying attention, things will move. Things kind of grow in. Well, somebody rips that out and they put a brand new little bit here and a brand new little bit. And the next thing you know, you have something that is completely different than what was intended.
Right.
So it's the gardeners, that day-to-day work, whether it's in the rose garden, deciding, you know, I'm going to deadhead this rose today because I see these buds coming on. Or they're saying, you know, I'm going to leave this for the weekend because by Sunday it'll be looking a little rough, but tomorrow is going to look great. So I'm going to leave that for the guests. That day-to-day decision-making is what makes it special for the guest. And they're, so it's the gardeners doing the day-to-day work that make it all happen.
Right, right.
Yes.
And they're most in touch with what's happening.
Oh, they're talking to the guest on a day-to-day, you know, just a constant basis. And they see how plants are growing. They know that, oh, last year at this time, we had that blister beetle on the Japanese anemones. So I better make sure that I'm going to take care of that now. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Mr. Vanderbilt was somewhat of the plant geek of the Vanderbilt family. And it's so cool to see the folks that are still here at the Biltmore are following that legacy.
That legacy of not just George, but also Edith Vanderbilt and Cornelia Vanderbilt, John Cecil, her husband, and then his and her son, William Cecil. And his love of gardens. And he was the one that said, you know, we're going to market this estate. And it's not just going to be about the house. We're going to do the gardens. We're going to make the gardens very, very important. We're going to add a winery, this working estate concept that was there from the beginning. We're really going to make this work. And now his son and daughter are the chief executives on the estate. And they're... So that family ownership and that attention to, for them, that attention to training and to caring for employees, you know, so that's crucial.
Yeah, yeah. That's the secret sauce.
It is the secret sauce. It happens.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time today.
I enjoyed it very much.
You know, every year, some of the questions we get about any rose trial is, how does the trial work and how would a amateur hybridizer enter a trial in the show? We caught up with Paul Zimmerman, who's the curator of the Biltmore Rose Trials, and he gave us some insight into how it all works and how it ultimately benefits backyard gardens.
Yeah, the trial works. It begins when I put out, you know, invitations to various breeders and nurseries. I have a long list from breeders all over the country and all over the world to participate in the trials. Everyone is allowed to participate. There is a very small entry fee, which I can waive for amateur breeders and do, because we particularly with these trials want to make it accessible to absolutely everybody. We feel that's real important. An example of that is Miracle on the Hudson, which won 3 or 4 years ago, was entered by Robert Riffito, who at the time was an amateur rose breeder. And it swept a lot of awards, and that rose has gone on to some commercial success. So that's how it begins. And they mail their roses in. The roses are judged for 2.5 years, basically 4 times a year, by a permanent jury. And they're judged for disease resistance, health and vigor, you know, flower, novelty of the flower, form, fragrance, general impression, and things along those lines. So it's different from a regular rose show in the sense that you might, and they're not judging the flower for exhibition form. They're judging the entire plant. And we're judging it with an eye towards how good of a garden plant is this going to be for the general gardener. And for that reason, the roses are sustainable in terms of their care. We don't use chemicals. We don't do the comprehensive feeding programs. We try to do the maintenance program as minimal as possible, something that can easily be replicated by someone at home, you know, maybe, you know, doing something once a month or something along those lines. And so that's how we're judging these roses. So we want these roses, when they come out, when the winners are announced, we want the general public to say, okay, these are some roses that would work well for me because they've been judged for 2.5 years. By folks who know what they're doing, who have a very specific criteria, they've not had a lot of chemicals. In fact, they had no chemicals. They've been sustainable. And so that's the goal of these trials, and that's in essence how they work.
Wow. So the winners we're about to hear in the award ceremony, those were actually planted in 2016.
Yeah, those were planted in the spring of 2016. And we used to go spring to spring over 2 years. And we moved it to the fall just because up in Asheville, the spring can be a little unpredictable and the fall's a little more predictable. The advantage that, though, that gives us is that actually gives us a third year in the ground to look at these plants. So they're looked at in 2016, they're looked at in 2017, then they're also looked at in 2018. So that really gives us, even though it's 2.5 years of judging, it's really three good solid looks at these roses over a 3 year period. And that really, I feel, makes a difference, because you can see a lot of them come into their own in their second year, by the third year, they're really coming into their own.
Oh yeah. As we walked the garden this morning, I tell you, it, some spectacular contenders for these top honors, and can't wait to hear who wins.
And it's kind of fun because, you know, as there's only about 3 or 4 of us that know what the roses are and actually need to see the scores beforehand. But by the beginning, middle of the second year, you start to see the cream rise to the crop. And it's quite remarkable how consistent the judges are in what they like. The trials benefit the home gardener by allowing us to test these roses for them before they even buy them. So these roses, again, they're sustainable. We're not using chemicals. We're doing them the way that a home gardener would use them. So that's what we're hoping to get out of these trials, is for the list of these roses that are now, this is our fifth year, so we now have probably, you know, 30, 40 winners that we've got. The home gardener can go and say, you know, folks have been testing these roses. They can grow them. They're testing them the way that I'm going to grow them at home. And I can go buy these roses with confidence knowing that they're going to do well in my garden.
So it's a win-win for all of it's a win for breeders that are just dying to get their roses in front of people. And for the backyard gardener, they know they can shop with confidence.
Yeah, they can. And that's exactly it. It's a win-win-win for everyone, because it's a win for the nurseries and the breeders, because we're testing their roses for 2.5 years. When they win this award, you know, we're very public about this award, and Biltmore markets it very well and how it means. So hopefully the breeder can say, okay, you know, we want a Biltmore trial, so you can buy this rose with confidence. The home gardener can look at that and say, okay, that won a Biltmore award. I know how those awards work. I know that they're working hard to make sure that they're growing them the way that I would grow them. So I'm going to win. And then the amateur breeder can win, because they can get their roses in front of someone who potentially could pick that rose up. Because, you know, they could enter six, we need 6 plants, 1 gallon on roots, the smallest we'll take, which anybody can produce, and they can produce those in their backyard, send them to us, and all of a sudden, if the rose does really well, one of the big nurseries might say, hey, that's a great rose, let me test that.
Yeah. The big things can really happen out of these rose trials. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting, and I think it's going to be nice that we've got the one at Biltmore, the American Rose Society, is now starting one at Shreveport. So as we get more of these going, I think it's going to be an advantage to the consumer, because they can look at that and go, okay, you know, someone's tried this rose, and it's not a marketing thing. It's nothing to do with anything like that. I know how it's judged. I know it's judged the way that I'm going to grow them, and I can buy these roses with confidence. And that's really the win for the home gardener, is to know that, you know what, I can go ahead and get what I call a starter rose, which is a rose that's going to do well for you, get you excited about roses, and make you realize rose growing isn't as difficult as you think it is.
We take you now to the 2018 Biltmore International Rose Trials Awards Ceremony, where you'll hear the winners of the trial announced, plus some special honors from American Rose Society President Pat Shanley.
Welcome again to the Biltmore International Rose Trials. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. We know many of you travel a distance to get here and spend the weekend here, and we love having you join us. It's always good to see the old faces. It's great to see the new faces that are here as well. And I hope everybody had a good time this weekend and has enjoyed themselves. Right. Before we get to the awards, we're going to do a few things. I know we've been thanking people. Parker has thanked some people, and so I'm going to thank some people as well. I'd like to thank the Cecil family, who are the, is it fourth generation, Parker? Yeah. Cecil is the fourth generation owner of Biltmore, so it's the great-grandchildren of George and Edith Vanderbilt, who Biltmore, if you don't know this, is privately owned still by the Cecil family. And Deanie Pickering, a number of years ago when she was here, had mentioned, year one, had mentioned that George Vanderbilt was very much interested in horticulture and plant testing. In fact, I believe one of the U.S. forestry school was first founded here on the estate, as a matter of fact. A lot of you also know Pisgah National Forest was donated, was part of the estate as well, and was sold, but they insisted, the family insisted on keeping it as a national forest and not allowing it to be broken up. So there's a long horticultural history, certainly here at Biltmore, and as in the International Rose Trials, we're honored to be part of it as well. So we do want to thank the Cecil family for making this possible and, you know, letting us use their house for the weekend. I wanted a couple people who helped make the trials happen, and one over here is Parker Andes, who a lot of you have met, and also Bill Quaid. Would you guys please raise your hands? When I brought Parker this idea a number of years ago, he looked at me and said, "What's that?" And I told him, and he said, "Well, let's go." And here we are, what, 6 years later or whatever it is we're at with that, which is wonderful. I'd also like to recognize none of this happens in this state without the folks who do the work in the garden every day. Parker mentioned the volunteers. Who are the folks who work in the garden from the Asheville Blue Ridge Rose Society? Yeah, so these folks who work in the garden on a regular basis. And as I mentioned last night, our new Rosarian, Claire, is also here with us, and who was just really jumped in. And it's great to just talk to Claire and catch her enthusiasm and see her enthusiasm and just see a whole new generation of people who are getting enthusiastic and excited about growing roses. So, Claire, I look forward to many years of working with you in this garden. It's been a real pleasure so far, so I really appreciate that. I'd also like to recognize we've got a few people from the industry here. I'm going to go by the name I know you by because I know you just got married. Rebecca Bull-Reed from David Austin Roses is here. The industry certainly supports what we do. We've also got from Jackson and Perkins, Wes Harville, Amy Heigl, and Norman Leventhal. Would you please raise your hands? If they're not creating roses, we got nothing to judge. That's really very simple with that. So what I would like to do now is introduce a couple of people to come up and say a few words. The American Rose Society, who we at Biltmore are great friends with and very much support, every 3 years has an election for vice president, president-elect. The election was just held, and this year our new American Rose Society vice president takes place in October, November, when, Dan?
October.
And so, first of all, would you please join me in congratulating Diane Summers on her election? And we certainly here at Biltmore look forward to working with you for the 6 years that you will be vice president and president. So I would like to introduce Diane to come up and say a few words. So Diane, come on up.
I will keep this brief, but on behalf of the American Rose Society, I want to thank the Biltmore, Paul, and everyone that has made this event as special as it is. And, you know, the International Rose Trials really play an important role in our passion for roses, right? When you think about the opportunity that it gives our amateur and our professional hybridizers to have those roses out being tested on average growing conditions similar to all of us grow our roses. How fantastic is that? And at the same time, it gives a lot of people that are enjoying the gardens the opportunity to come and look at them and see all the new varieties that are coming out and get interested in that. How many questions did you all get today while we were judging those roses? There is really a big interest in growing roses, and it's because of people in this room and the Biltmore, that interest continues to grow. So thank you very much for that. We are very much aligned with the overall mission of the American Rose Society. Now, not only that, think about all the volunteers. Paul, you were just mentioning them, that have really made this event happen, that really take care of the gardens. You know, the ARS also lives by their volunteers, and many of you, probably almost everybody in this room, is a volunteer for the American Rose Society. That volunteerism is so important, and it really makes the ARS what it is today. So thank you very much for that. And then finally, it's the people, right? How many people have you met today? I've heard some people say, I had to go sit at a different table because I wanted to meet people today. You know, how much fun is that? It's this rose hobby, and it's the people in the rose hobby. We've all talked about that. that make our hobby and our passion for roses as strong as it is. So what a special weekend this is. And that what I ask of you as you leave here and think about the terrific opportunity and the event that you had able to participate in, how do you make that grow just like your roses? How do you take the knowledge that you have, what you learned today, the beautiful roses that you saw, and how do you share that with other people so that it doesn't stop here, it really keeps growing? How do you grow those new friendships that you made today? How are you going to connect with those people? Take this as a real opportunity to continue to grow your interest, your passion in roses, support the Biltmore, and support the American Rose Society. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Diane. Next, I'd like to introduce someone who we also know is the current president of the American Rose Society, but also who's a very dear friend of mine, and someone I've got to know more and more over the years and enjoy spending time with. So would you please welcome Pat Shanley, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's a real honor to be here. The International Rose Trials play a very important part in helping to identify easy care roses for the general public, roses that can be grown without the use of pesticides. The creation and trialing of disease-resistant roses is also important to the health of our environment, and it's crucial to the educational mission of the American Rose Society. The future of the rose industry, the botanical gardens, and the American Rose Society is dependent on giving our members and the general public roses they can grow successfully where they live. The American Rose Society is dedicated to helping people grow great roses. We remain committed to supporting the rose trials, the botanical gardens, and the rose industry. And we remain committed to providing a place for every interest in the rose, from the most experienced to the most casual gardeners. From the passionate exhibitors who strive for floral perfection to the modest gardeners who simply want beautiful, fragrant roses in their gardens, there is a place for you at the American Rose Society. On behalf of ARS, I would like to thank the Biltmore, the Cecil family, Parker Andis, Paul Zimmerman, the permanent judging panel, Claire Cottrell, Stacy Weir, Bill Quaid, and all of you who have worked so hard to make these trials a success. Thank you so much for inviting the American Rose Society to be part of this wonderful event. And at this time, I'd like to call up Parker Andis. Parker. On behalf of the American Rose Society, I would like to present you with this presidential citation, and it reads, "This presidential citation is presented to the Biltmore in recognition of their generous support of the American Rose Society and their commitment to the future of roses through the Biltmore International Rose Trials. Presented at the 2018 Biltmore International Rose Trials Awards Luncheon in Asheville, North Carolina on this 29th day of September in the year 2018. And lastly, Paul Zimmerman. Paul has been an incredible friend to me personally and to the American Rose Society and to the world of roses for many, many years. The American Rose Society is especially grateful to Paul for many reasons, not the least of which is the incredible design that was sponsored by Jackson and Perkins that Paul Zimmerman and Richard Beals did for the new Great Garden Restoration at the American Rose Center in Shreveport. And so I present this presidential citation, which is hereby awarded to Paul Zimmerman in recognition of his many years of outstanding service to the American Rose Society and to the Rose, presented at the 2018 Biltmore International Rose Trials Awards Luncheon in Asheville, North Carolina, on this 29th day of September in the year 2018. Looking forward to many more wonderful things.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Pat. That's very touching and means a lot coming from you as well. So we will now, Claire, if you'll come join me. You all did a very good job judging this this weekend. You were lenient. We appreciate that. But as always with these trials, I've noticed now in our 6th year of doing this, the cream always rises to the crop, needless to say. And this year, we're certainly no exception. We had some wonderful roses. You all know that. I heard you all talking about it. And it's always fun to hear the judges saying, oh, I think that's going to win. I think that's going to win. And I'm looking at the scores going, we all did a wonderful job. And we really thank you for coming out here. So we are going to start giving out awards. Dwayne, are you ready? Okay. What we do, for those of you who haven't been here, Claire and I are going to tag team announcing the awards. We have gone into the garden. Claire and her team have gone into the garden. They've cut flowers from the winners. Those are in vases. They will come out, or vases, depending on what part of the world you're from. They will be set on the table, and then we also have table tents in front of them with the winners and the awards that they have won. I saw this done at the Hague Trials a number of years ago. It's one of the few places I've seen it done, because I know how you're all feeling right now. I'm going to name a rose, and you're going to go, which one was that? You've looked at way too many today. So this is a nice way for you guys to be able to see the flowers, see the bloom, and understand what they are. And then afterward, they'll be here. You can take photographs and whatever it is you wish to do. So we will begin. Would you like to go first?
Sure. First up, we have the Edith Wharton Award, and it's the Shining Moment.
Yep.
Rad Shining?
Rad Shining. Shining Moment, William Radler.
William Radler.
Yep. So we'll let that one come out. There's your Floribunda winner. All right. I like the presentation, Claire. So, our next award, 2018 International Rose Trials, the Gilded Age Award, which is for the best climber, goes to High Wire Flyer, also bred by William Radler.
Next up, we have the Pauline Merrill Award that is selected for the Hybrid Tea Rose, and this one is going to Princess Charlene de Monaco, and it's bred by Mayend.
Yep. All right, next up. International Rose Trial Chauncey Beadle Award for the Best Shrub Rose goes to Chris Warner for Rosa, Oh So Easy, Urban Legend.
All right, the next award is Cornelia Vanderbilt Cecil Award, and it's being given to the Princess Charlene de Monaco, and it was bred by Mayend, which was... most fragrant. The most fragrant rose.
Next up is the Best Growth Habit Award and the 2018 Biltmore International Rose Trial. This has gone to High Wire Flyer, also bred by, again, Mr. Bill Radler, William Radler.
All right, next up, we have the Lord Burleigh Award, and it's given to the Rosa Oh So Easy Urban Legend, and this is for the best disease resistance.
This corner is the breeder.
And last but not least, our final award, the big one, the 2018 International Rose Trials, the George and Edith Vanderbilt Award for the most outstanding overall rose of the entire trials goes to Princess Charlene de Monaco, bred by the House of Mayon. 1625. So folks, that brings us to conclusion. Those are our awards for this Biltmore International Rose Trial, and we'll see you again next year.
Well, folks, there you have it. Another exciting award ceremony for the Biltmore International Rose Trials. To learn more about the Rose Trials and the fabulous Biltmore Estate, visit their website at biltmore.com. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast, and we thank you for listening. Happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.